The panini butter.
No, you can't have any.
Welcome to They Mostly Podcast at Night, episode 210, The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ah, massacre facts, based on this true podcast. Did I say massacre right, or did I massacre the word massacre?
It sounded a little slightly like massacre, but I think you're okay.
Was I saying massacre, maybe?
Massacre. Massacre, like dry like rub, like
what?
See, I think of curing something, like in order to eat them, or something.
Yeah, you went there. I didn't have to go there with you with the people thing. So there we go. Wow, we're getting off to a great start. Hi, Chaos.
Hi, Carnage.
How's it going?
Fantabulous. How are you?
I'm good, and I realize now why I had trouble with this fucking movie. Okay, so. Did we say what movie we did already? We did.
Yes.
I'm looking it up on IMDb, right? I'm trying to find this fucking movie on IMDb. Oh, by the way, spoilers ahead, and expletives ahead, because I'm going to say that now, because I'm going to swear up a storm. Okay, so I'm trying to find this fucking movie on IMDb. I'm like, why is it pulling up all the other fucking versions of this movie, like the 2022? I don't give a shit. I want the original. Do you know why?
As you should. Why?
The word chainsaw is two words in this movie. It's one word in every other movie.
Yes, it is.
Why they gotta be fucking with me like that?
I don't know. And you know what? It's something that I really never thought about. But now that you mention it, yes, this is two words.
Chainsaw is one word though, right? I'm not losing my mind.
No,
chainsaw is a one word.
I think I've heard it both ways.
Oh, have you? Like tomato, tomato?
The only person I've ever heard say tomato is you, but...
You say tomato, I say tomato, you say potato. You never heard that song before?
Of course I've heard that song.
Tomato, tomato. Okay, then I'm not the only person who ever heard say tomato.
I've heard you say tomato. You're the only one who's used it in a conversation, though. Like,
but I'm being a jackass, though. I'm not really calling it a tomato.
The song.
Okay, well, I'm not really calling it a tomato, though. I'm being a jackass when I say tomato.
Well, everything that comes out of your mouth is you being a jackass, so...
I have never heard anything more true in my life, actually, and I'm so proud of you for being able to admit that. Thank you for both of us.
That you're a jackass, you're proud.
Giant jackass. I'm so proud of it. I'm totally proud. Well, now that that's cleared up as to why I could not find this fucking movie, and I feel better now knowing what I know, because the more you know,
ding.
How was your week?
Fine. I knew that this was two words, and so I located the correct movie quickly and easily, although I was hesitant to watch it because I guess I can say why now. I was thinking, should I like wait to say why later?
Oh, no. But, please tell us why.
So I watched this movie the first time when I was about 17.
Okay.
And I turned it off because I was bored. I rented it, and I watched it with my mom, and we were both bored, and we turned it off.
Okay.
Or at least mom said she was bored. I don't know. I genuinely was bored. And,
Is this before you were diagnosed ADD?
Yes.
That explains a lot.
It is before I was diagnosed.
Okay.
But then this time watching it, I was like, okay, I have to watch it all the way through. I can't turn it off. And I'm worried because this movie's gory. It's not extremely gory. Then, and a lot of the stuff that happens off screen. So it's really not that bad. But I wasn't sure how I was going to deal with it. Because I don't like gore.
Right.
Like, I don't like extreme gore.
Correct.
But I did not have a problem with this movie whatsoever. I was fine.
As you said, they're really jackassy, like, which is why I picked this movie. It's not, though. I was trying to get you back for Lake Placid. Okay, so here's why I picked it. I was trying to get you back for Lake Placid 3, but not also make myself miserable. And I got the wrong movie. Because I remember this movie being horrible, but not like, it was just boring. Like, it was really boring. But I watched the wrong movie for the first time. The movie I thought this was actually The Reunion. It's got Renee Zellweger, Matthew McConaughey. It's not good. It's horrible. This is far superior.
Yes.
Than what I saw. I'm like, oh, wait, this, I don't remember. I'm like going in like the first 5 minutes. I'm like, I don't remember these characters. Weren't they at a prom? Like, what's going on here? I don't quite understand because I'm a moron and I picked the wrong movie. But in the end, it worked out better for both of us.
Yeah, it did.
Because I no longer feel the need to torture you with the New Generation one.
Oh, good.
It's been a week. I've kind of had a distinct cooling off period
for
being mad about Lake Placid 3. So, we're okay now, I think.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yes. I'm glad also that you picked this one and not the prom one, because then I would have been in for a world of pain and torture. And this one was, while I was able to watch it pretty analytically and not get sucked in and be like all disturbed by all the violence and gore. And I was able to kind of watch it with my critic eye instead of my movie watching eye. And I just saw I saw things that, you know, other movies take from it.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of inspired other movies, and I saw it just for what it was. I saw its parts and pieces.
Did you know this inspired Ridley Scott to do Alien?
I did not know.
I read that as I was doing the research. I was like, you have to be thankful for this movie, because without this movie, you would not have Alien. Without Alien, you would not have the name of our podcast.
That's true.
So we I also
wouldn't
thanks.
Have Alien, which is my favorite movie of all time.
There you go.
Yeah.
Aliens is better than Alien.
You're wrong, but okay.
Bill Paxton is also the better Bill. I'm right on that too. So, okay. All right. No. All right. Should we say who we are and what we do since we're so involved?
Yeah, we're just getting right into it this time. We are the Mostly Podcast at Night.
Mostly.
We are two best friends of 20 years who bicker and banter our way through a different horror movie each week. We have an octagon where we MMA style duke it out if we don't see eye to eye on podcasts, because that's how our friendship works. Hashtag friendship goals. It lives in the Harryonis hench of hate.
The Harryonis?
The Harryonis hench.
The Marianas
trench. Expelliarmus. I don't fucking know. The Marianas trench of hate. And where there are other things to do when we're even in good moods, like cat cafes and roller discos.
It's fun.
It is fun. And let's see, what else is anything going on in the world of horror lately? No, not really. What was I thinking? Oh, we're having Fan Expo Cleveland this weekend, though.
Yes, we are.
Which I might go to, I might not. Depends.
Carnage is still dealing with debilitating anxiety.
Yeah, poor Carnage.
Carnage will not be going to anything that's got crowds.
But Chaos might go. And if I do go, I'm going to have fun. Hopefully there will be some horror stuff there. They've rebranded it. It used to be Wizard World with an emphasis on comics. Now they've rebranded it as Fan Expo with an emphasis on like all kinds of fandoms. So I'm hoping there will be lots of horror stuff there too, because I got some money to burn.
I want to go so, like, my heart wants to go and my stomach doesn't want me to go. My heart wants to go so bad because Brian O'Halloran and Jeff Anderson are going to be there, and I really want to get a picture with the two of them with me holding a sign that says, I'm not even supposed to be here today. But my stomach says no.
Aww.
But that's, I really, too bad. Love them. And my pocketbook says no, too, because it's like $100 for that picture. But I really want it. But I really fucking want it. Because I love them desperately.
I know.
They're the best part about Jay and Silent Bob.
Did you know that I have an unauthorized picture of myself with Joel Hodgson?
No. How is it unauthorized?
I didn't pay for it.
How'd you get it?
So my sister and her boyfriend did pay for him, but they missed it. They were too late. So we went up to Joel's booth and we were talking to him, and they said, you know, like, oh, we missed it. It was we're too late. And he felt bad so that they paid and they missed it. So he took a picture with them. So I snuck in the picture too.
I fucking love it.
But then when they were doing the Kickstarter from Bring Back MST3K, I donated like some like ungodly large amount of money to make up for the fact that I got a free picture. So I kind of like paid it back.
Fine, you paid it forward.
Yeah.
Schemer. I was talking about, we're going so off tangent here. I don't even care though. I was talking to Mama Carnage about how we went to, what the fuck were we at when we were at the mall in Pennsylvania where Dawn of the Dead took place?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Monroeville Mall. Expo were we at?
That was just, what was that called? It was, I don't even remember what it was called.
It was for like Night of the Living Dead.
It was for Night of the Living Dead specifically. It was
Dawn of the Dead.
Dawn of the Dead. Dawn of the Dead specifically. But it was like a tribute to James A. Romero and
George A. Romero. You're not cutting that out. You have to leave that in. Oh, you're in so much trouble. You're going to get your nerd car revoked. It's going to be so great. This is what happens when you think Bill Pullman's the best Bill.
Oh, shut up. I can't have a brain fart. Jeez, I have to be Miss Perfect. Fine, yes. I will leave it in.
Yes, you do.
Because you know what? I am not perfect, and I am okay with that.
Nobody's perfect. Pobody's
perfect. Pobody's perfect.
No, but anyway, what I was bringing up with that is I've got that fucking autographed poster from Tom Savini.
Yes.
Which I should just fucking auction off in the podcast because it's in a box. It's in a box. Like, what am I going to do with it?
You should frame it and put it on your wall.
It is framed. Okay, it's framed already, but it's framed and in a box.
So then give it to me.
I'm not giving it to you. I was thinking about making it like a contest for next year for the podcast as a giveaway.
Okay, fine. I'll enter the giveaway and I'll win and then I'll get
it. Employees cannot enter the contest of the podcast.
Come on.
Nice try, though. Nice try. Should I tell them? Did you do everything that we need to do?
No,
did
I do all the housekeeping started. Shit? Well, I already told him about, you already told him about spoilers and expletives. That's true.
Because
so.
I started off early.
So I'm good.
We still got to do one of these episodes where we just start swearing without even saying anything.
Yeah.
This week we did the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, the original from 1974. It was an R rating. It was an hour and 23 minutes long, and it got a 7.4 on the IMDb scale. What about that tomato meter?
So glad you asked, because you see, the tomato meter is certified fresh at an 89%. Critics' consensus, thanks to a smart script and documentary-style camera work, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre achieves start-to-finish suspense, making it a classic in low-budget exploitation cinema. Audience score, 82%.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. Should we do casting?
Let's do cast.
I've got everyone all through the grandfather.
Father.
I'm only doing one movie because most of these people didn't do much.
Okay. Yeah, I see three people that actually have IMDb photos. Oh, boy. Okay, Sally was Marilyn Burns.
She's mostly known from Helter Skelter.
Jerry was Alan Danziger.
He really only did one other movie, and it was called Eggshells.
Franklin was Paul A. Partain.
He's in one of my favorite movies, The Life of David Gale.
Kirk was William Vale.
He was in Poltergeist.
Pam was Terry McMinn.
She was in The Butcher Boys with actually Marilyn Burns, Edwin Neal, and John Dugan were all in that with her, too. So.
The Hitchhiker was Edwin Neal.
Also in Death Breed.
Oh.
Sounds like a good movie.
Yeah. Old Man was Jim Sidow.
He was in the, he was actually the cook in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2.
Leatherface was Gunnar Hansen.
He was in a movie called Chainsaw Sally, which has nothing to do with this.
Oh, cool.
It's a separate movie about chainsaws.
And the grandfather was John Dugan.
I had one more for Gunnar.
Okay.
Because I love the name of this movie. Reykjavik Whale Watching Massacre.
Nice.
I think it's a documentary. Just kidding. It's not. But it'd be funny.
I kind of want to see it.
Okay. I'm sorry. Grandfather, you said?
Grandfather was John Dugan.
He was in Devil's Inc.
Nice.
Do you want a little summary?
I love one of Carnage's famous 5-second summaries.
Teenagers just walk into strangers' house looking for gas of all things, and things go awry.
They certainly do.
What the fucking teenagers? Like, okay, so do you want to hear my theory now? We were talking a little bit about this off screen. I'm like, stop. You're going to ruin my theory about this whole movie. Do you want to hear my movie?
Let's hear your theory. Okay.
Poor Leatherface. He is just a misunderstood artist that keeps getting freaked out because teens keep just walking into his house, disturbing his art. Disturbing his art. He's just misunderstood. And I'm getting the look already.
I don't think so, because I think he wants the teens to walk into his house so that he can do art with
them. Okay, he clearly does not want the teens in his house. He gets more and more distressed with every teen that shows up. I don't think he wants the teens in his
house. I don't think distressed is the right word. Maybe hungry.
I'm going to argue with you on that one. He just seems distressed. He's like, ah, another teen. I'm going to put this one on a hook because I don't know what to do with her. You know?
He's excited. He's like, I'm going to put her here. I'm going to leave her here so that I can deal with this one. And then I can deal with her. This is perfect. This is what I wanted. Congratulations. You have a girl on a hook.
Who doesn't want a girl on a hook, honestly? I mean, we each
they're
have a girl
so
on
mouthy.
A hook. They're so mouthy.
Yeah, they're always screaming.
Maybe yours is. Mine's fine. Maybe that's because I get ball gagged her, though, so I'm just saying.
They're always screaming or pleading or, please, I want to see my loved ones again.
Don't kill me, God.
Don't kill me.
That's why I need a gag. I've been telling you for years. Get a gag, okay? Invest in a heavy-duty gag. You won't hear it all the time. You'll see the tears. You'll get past it. It'll be fine. You know, you can go get a muffled, and then you're just like, I can't hear you. I'm sorry. I'm not a dentist. I can't understand you.
I mean, you can't hear the words, but you can still hear the screaming. It's like,
that's a good thing.
Oh,
the
okay.
Screaming means it's working.
Okay. That just took a turn.
Another nail on my pegboard, right?
Another nail in the pegboard. She likes the screaming. Well, look out.
All right, so let's start at the beginning of this movie. Let's back up the truck a little bit from what we're talking about here.
Oh, okay.
So it starts with John Larroquette narrating this, like, it's like kind of like a news broadcast on the radio. And actually, he only got paid a joint for this, doing this. This is before the night court days, apparently, you know, when he was famous.
Mm-hmm.
But he's recording on how these... statues are found of disembodied, like, well, like different parts of bodies, and see statues. He's an artist.
Mm-hmm.
Damn it, where my thing go? And bodies dug up and arranged into sculptures from this cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
So we meet the kids, as we'll call them. There's Sally, her brother Franklin, our Chad, Pam, Jerry, and Kirk.
Yes.
And I think they're specifically going to find out to make sure grandfather has not been unburied, and grave robbed, basically.
Yeah.
And used in a sculpture. Which, you should be honored if he was unburied and
used
in a sculpture.
Here it is. I knew it was coming. Why did I think it wouldn't be coming?
It's an honor to be part of a piece of art. That's all I'm saying, okay? So I tell each and every one of my victims, I mean... subjects. It's an honor to be a piece of part of art.
Okay, Hannibal.
It's Did I say I wear them? No, I did not. So they go to the cemetery.
Yes.
Well, no, before they even get to the fucking cemetery, they pull up to the side to let Franklin go wee.
Yes.
In a can.
Yes.
And it's Kirk and Franklin. And a truck goes by. You got to explain this one to me. A truck goes by and somehow blows so much air that it pushes Franklin down the hill and Kirk almost down to the ground.
Well, Franklin has these big things called wheels.
Okay, shut the fuck up. Yes, he is in a wheelchair, but if you ever push somebody in a wheelchair, it's not that easy. Just like a strong gust of wind will blow them away. It doesn't happen that easily.
No, it doesn't happen that easily. I think that was a little over-dramatized.
Well, even Kirk being like, and like flailing.
Yeah, I mean,
it's wind, wuss. Come on.
It's a truck, that's true, but it's not that powerful of wind. We're not trucking like gale force winds.
Yeah, this isn't like Kansas in the middle of a tornado with Dorothy. I mean, so they visit the cemetery. And then after the cemetery, they pick up a hitchhiker.
Oh, my God. Because
that is what you are supposed to do when you see someone walking. You pick them up and offer them a ride. Have you ever picked up a hitchhiker?
No.
I have only once. And it was only for a short trip. So it was fine. It's fine. They were going to Giant Eagle from the post office. It was fine. I just drove them up the hill. Getting the look. Like, don't pick up hitchhikers.
Don't pick up hitchhikers.
Someone did tell Toby Hooper that this movie did cure, like, I think it was like something like hitchhiking went down like 25 or some shit percent because of this movie. like people were afraid of hitchhikers, and I don't blame them.
No.
Because the hitchhiker they pick up's a little odd.
Yeah, but at the same time, like, hitchhikers now, people are afraid to hitchhike. It's not just that people are afraid to pick up hitchhikers, but people are afraid to hitchhike and get somebody creepy.
Like us.
Who's offering them a ride.
Like they could get us.
Exactly.
And never be seen again.
Exactly.
Okay, all right. I see it both ways.
Yeah.
But, yes. But in the 70s, it was all, like, free love and stuff still left over from the 60s, right?
Yeah.
Pick up hitchhikers, it's fine.
It's fine.
I love how they like judge him. Like, ew, he's weird looking. Don't pick him up. They pick him up anyway.
Yeah, they do.
And you shouldn't judge a book by the cover. But in this case, it was right. He's a little odd duckling. But then again, so is like some of their group. So, I mean, the fuck ever. You already have Franklin picking his nails with a knife.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
That's really smart, Franklin.
So the stranger pulls out his knife, and he takes a picture of Franklin, and then asks for $2. What was it? $2 from Franklin?
Yeah, for the picture.
$2. Franklin doesn't want to pay, but now I know where like all like the scammers in France got their ideas from.
Oh yeah,
I'll take a picture of you. Oh don't, yeah, here's your picture. Isn't that great? $2, please. Actually, it's more like $30 now, but like that'd be $30. No, I took the picture. You have to give me the $30.
Wow. Not just like here, where if we take your picture, we just give you your camera back.
No. It doesn't work that way. It's all sorts of scams. Anyway, so he burns the picture. Hitchhiker, I guess we're just calling him Hitchhiker because that's all his name is in the credits. He's one of the Sawyer family. He burns the photo, and then he takes out his own knife and starts cutting himself.
Well, and he cuts Franklin, too.
He does cut Franklin, too. Which makes them throw him out finally. Like, yeah. I don't know why they waited so long. Like, I would have thrown him out at the fire, but that's just me, personally. Although maybe I wouldn't have, because I do love a good fire. But then it was a disappointing fire, so maybe I would have, because I'd be like, where the fuck was the flame?
Fire in a small enclosed space, a little dangerous.
A little dangerous. Well, before they're talking about the, before they even pick him up, they're talking about the slaughterhouses.
Yeah.
Which he brings up, too. He's talking about, like, head cheese.
Yeah.
Okay, I did not know how head cheese is made, and now I'm never trying head cheese.
No.
That was also going to be one of the names of this flick, too, was head cheese. Thank you for not picking that name. But the only reason I bring this up is because they talk about different ways to kill the animals. Like, they used to use a sledgehammer. This comes up later. That's why I'm bringing it up. And, or a bolt gun.
Yeah.
And the stranger's like, oh no, it's the sledgehammer is so much better. Yes. That was so creepy. Well, that was an it too, wasn't the bolt gun? Yeah, the bolt gun was an it too, and Mike had to use the bolt gun. Bolt gun comes up a lot. I wouldn't mind using a bolt gun every once in a while. Not necessarily an animal, though. I mean, maybe on a person.
Okay, I was going to say. Like,
animals
what is,
before people
what is
always.
Wrong with you? And then, oh, a person. Oh, okay.
That's fine. Anyway, the stranger is like, no. The old way is the good. The sledgehammer. You got to go sledgehammer. Well, he gets booted after he cuts Franklin up. I wish he cut more Franklin up because Franklin's kind of a whiny bitch.
Oh, couldn't stand Franklin.
He gets our chat award. Do you want to explain what the chat award is since we haven't had one for a while?
Chat award comes from our very first episode, Tucker and Dale versus Evil, where Chad was not necessarily the big bad guy, but more of just like somebody in the group of friends who is the biggest douche canoe, because there's always the group of friends and then there's always one who is a giant dickhead. And so we named him after Chad.
Tucker and David versus Evil. He is the bad guy, though.
He is technically the bad guy, but he's also
have to be, though,
he's also Chad. We've fashioned the award on the fact that he's also the in the protagonist group of friends, and he's a jerk because there's always a group of friends, and there's always one jerk.
Sometimes more than one.
Sometimes more than one, but there's always at least one.
Yeah, so Franklin gets the award this week. Because he's a gigantic douche. I mean, yay for ableism representation. Boo for making him the Chad. Like, completely fucking annoying. Like, no one likes him. No one likes this guy.
No one does.
They didn't even like filming with him because he was a method actor. Oh. And he stayed in that douchiness all the time. And they were so happy to see him killed off. Like, I think even Gunnar Hansen's like, I was so happy to see him killed because I was just where I'm gone.
Method acting is so pretentious. I just said it.
I'll
say it again.
Shots fired.
Method acting is stupid.
Well, and because of that, him and Sally, their sibling bickering was actually pretty real. Because they did not get along because he was method acting being a douche the whole time. So, fun stuff, right?
Yeah.
So, they get rid of the hitchhiker. They go to the gas station to pick up gas. There's no gas. But there's barbecue.
Yeah. Barbecue, but no gas.
Ugh.
I love me some good gas station barbecue.
When it's not made of human, sure. Just saying.
Long pig.
No long pig. No. I will kill the people. I will not eat the people. That is where I draw the line. There's a line and it's drawn firmly in the sand of no long pig. Cass has not drawn such a line.
Well, I mean, you know, drinking their blood, it's only like a couple steps away from just outright eating people.
God. Ew. This gives me like fried green tomatoes.
Yes, at the Whistle Stop Cafe. Absolutely. That's exactly what I was thinking of.
Ew. Anyway.
The secret's in the sauce.
Secret's in the sauce. And they never saw him again. Gas isn't coming for a while, so they're like, oh, our grandfather used to live near here. And the gas station's like, no, you stay here. People don't like them knocking on their doors. And, well, his grandfather used to own it, so they buy barbecue, and they go to the Franklin house.
Yes.
Oh, God, and when they're first there, I gotta say, when they're first there and Franklin's got that piece sticking out of his mouth at the barbecue, and it looks like a fucking finger or a hand or a penis or something. It looks like a body part, and it's disgusting, and I'm like, ew, that looks like a body part. And then you find out more later that it was a body part.
And it was a body part.
It probably was a fucking penis. Or part of an intestine or something.
Probably.
Ew. But Franklin did suck dick, so I mean, it was kind of appropriate.
Wow.
Just saying.
That took a turn.
To take a turn. So they get to the house. It's all run down. I mean, it's like this crumbling manor that was probably once beautiful, but no one's been there for years, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah. Kirk and Pam go looking for a local swimming hole. Franklin tells them about it.
Yeah.
And when they go look for it, that's when they stumble upon the house.
Yeah, they hear the generator, the gas generator, and he's like, oh, gas.
Yeah.
It's not going to drop. The gas station is going to get gas, they said, in a couple hours. I mean, yeah. We find out, no, they probably never were going to get gas. But yeah. Why are you so impatient to go get gas? Okay, let's go to the strange house.
And hit them up for some gas. When it's like, go find the swimming hole. Just waste some time. Go see the Franklin and Sally's parents or grandparents' house.
Wasn't the swimming hole dried up? Didn't they get there and it was all dried up?
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
like everything else that was at that house, it was all dried up.
But, you know, do something. Don't just go to random houses.
Don't go inside random houses.
Yeah.
Just because no one answers the door, it doesn't mean that's an invitation.
No, it's not. And to have, you know, the door be just open does not mean walk inside me. Just a thought.
Now I feel like I'm in House in Wonderland. Enter me. Oh, that sounds bad. Oh, God. Oh, God. Well, yeah, and they're finding, like, they see all these bones on the outside, and, like, there's this human tooth just hanging out on the porch. Like, it falls from somewhere. Like, it's obviously creepy. Run yeah. away. Oh, no. We're going to walk into the house, Kirk does.
Yeah.
And that's where he comes face to face with Leatherface.
Leatherface. Yeah, there's this, like, slight, like incline going down and this metal door and it just slides aside and Leatherface is just there and he just completely attacks and kills Kirk just immediately and then drags him through the door and it slams shut again.
With a sledgehammer to the head, exactly like they were describing at the slaughterhouse.
Yep.
How the first hit never really kills them. It just makes them make noises and shimmy their legs a little bit and cry out. Yes, and then the metal door with all the heads mounted on the wall. And then Pam does the same thing.
Pam does the same darn thing. She manages to find a room filled with human bones.
I think it's all kinds of bones, too, wasn't it? Not just human.
Not just human. There were furniture made with human bones, but there were just bones of every kind of creature that you could imagine just all around in this room. Like, all over the walls, made out of the furniture, on the floor. It was...
Feathers all over.
Yeah.
Like, chicken feathers. Like, there was a live chicken in a cage, but, like, feathers all over the floor, too.
Yeah.
Can you imagine? And they were... I mean... put some trivia as we go. Real carcasses.
Ew.
They got them from a veterinarian.
Ew.
They later burned them all outside the back, like the back of the house when they were all done filming. But yeah, those are real carcasses.
Ew.
The smell. I can't smell.
No.
But they describe the smell and it's like... yeah.
Yeah, no. I don't want to imagine what that smell smelled like.
But
because those of us who aren't asthmatic will tell you just the thought of one carcass burning has to be disgusting. And when you get several in there, no, it's just a no for me. It's just a no for me.
Let me ask you this real fast.
Yes.
We're going to do this at your Pam.
At what?
Your Pam. Just, okay. Just go with me. Your Pam, you've gone into this house. You've gone into this room. You've fallen onto the ground like Kirk did. I mean, like, people are like the most clumsiest motherfuckers alive. But anyway, you've fallen. You're on the floor of this room. You're looking around. You see all these bones. You see these feathers. You see this chicken squawking. You see human bones. What do you do next? Do you A, try to get out there as fast as fucking possible without saying a word? Or two, or B, scream, cry out, and make as much noise as you can as you scamper to get up and try to leave?
Definitely A.
Yeah. That's what I thought. No, not Pam. She makes as much fucking noise as possible. So Leatherface
finds her, obviously.
Fucking he upset.
Grabs her, and my favorite thing in the movie, hangs her on a meat hook.
So I'm going to pause this here for a second. And this is where I was getting confused because I didn't say anything to you until halfway through the movie. Like this isn't the movie I saw before.
Yeah.
Because in the one I saw, they're the same fucking scene where he hangs someone on a meat hook. I'm like, wait, maybe I did see this. A lot of that same movie is taken directly from this. It's a different scenario as to how they found the house.
Yeah.
But yeah, they hang her on a meat hook. They make her sit at dinner. The end's the same where she fucking goes into a back of a pickup truck with Leatherface, you know, dancing around. Oh, that's lame. But that's why I was so confused at first. Like, maybe I did see this. No. So.
I hate it when they just rip from an earlier version of the movie.
How lazy.
So lazy. But, yeah, so Leatherface makes her watch as he butchers Kirk with his chainsaw.
It's very considerate.
Very considerate.
He wants to show her his art before she becomes it.
So finally, Jerry heads out to look for Pam and Kirk at sunset. He sees the house and finds Pam still alive in the freezer.
Yeah.
That's the end of Jerry. Because Leatherface kills him.
He hits him with a hammer too, doesn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. So now it's dark.
You got Franklin and Sally.
Sally and Franklin still don't know where their friends are. So they're running around the other house calling out for their friends, and Leatherface comes running out of the darkness with his chainsaw going, and like, you know, one of that iconic moments of the movie that everybody knows, and chainsaws all up Franklin. Franklin's dead.
The best part of the whole fucking movie right there. They could have ended it. Kills, and they would have been a happy ending.
Franklin. They could have killed Franklin. They could have ended the movie right there, and I would have been satisfied.
Only chainsaw death in the whole movie.
Yeah.
Only chainsaw death.
But yet, that's what Leatherface is known for, his chainsaw.
I know. and he chases Sally. Mm-hmm. She actually makes it to the Sawyer house, and inside where she goes, of course, up the stairs.
Yes.
Finds a grandfather, who I thought was dead at first, and grandmother, who really is dead. Heads back down the stairs, scaring Leatherface as he comes in the door again. They both scare each other.
Yeah.
And then she jumps out a window to get away from him.
Yes.
A little trivia. They had gunner hands, and I think he's like 6 foot something. They also had him in 3 foot lifts as well to make him even taller.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I think he's 6 foot four, and they had him in 3-inch lifts. So, like, he didn't clear doors a lot. He hit himself a lot on the head and stuff.
Yeah.
But they were saying that he, even in the lifts, he ran faster than Marilyn Burns' Sally character. So, like, that's why you see him, like, cutting up, like, through the woods.
Okay.
And chopping, like, you know, because he had to, like, kill time because he was still faster than Marilyn Burns.
I wondered, because I was like, there were a couple of times when I thought he was going to catch her.
Mm-hmm. Where he clearly should have, yeah.
Because he clearly should have caught her. And then all of a sudden they'd cut to the scene like at a different angle and he'd be behind her again. And I'd be like, what? Like, he should have caught her, shouldn't he?
When she finally makes it to the gas station where you've got old man, as they call him, who I don't know if he's like the father of Leatherface and Hitchhiker, but he's there. He's trying to calm her down. And he brings his check around, but I think it's had, it kind of clicks for Marilyn. Like, she's looking at the long pig in the barbecue, and
yeah, it clicks for her that that's obviously human meat.
Oh, God.
And this guy is not a good guy, and he comes in, and she's like, oh, shit.
He takes a broom to her. That's funny. That's his weapon. He's, like, sweeping her face for a little bit, actually. Yeah. It's kind of hysterical. but he finally knocks her out and takes her back to the house. Where they're there for a meal, right?
Yeah.
And this, more behind, there's a lot of trivia to this movie, but... grandfather's makeup, who grandfather's alive, he's actually 20 years younger than old man, but he's made up to look like grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
5 hours to put that makeup on.
Oh, geez.
So he only put the makeup on once. They did every single scene with him in the same day. I think they said they were in that, did that scene for like 12 to 16 hours it took for that dinner scene.
Oh.
And they weren't even acting at some point because they kind of like went a little... I don't remember. I think they called it like scene sanity or something like that, where they kind of just forgot they were acting. Like, they even cut Marilyn Burns' finger at one point when they were feeding it to grandfather. Like, they really cut it because they got frustrated with it wasn't working. So they just cut her finger.
Oh my gosh.
Gunner wasn't allowed to take off his mask at all in that whole 16 hours. It was like 98 degrees outside, but because it was daylight, they had blackout curtains in, so it was like 120 degrees inside. They had that meat that had been sitting out all day, like the carcasses, the smell. Like, Edwin, the one that played the hitchhiker, he was saying he wanted to kill Toby Hooper. Like, it was like the worst thing. He's been in Vietnam, and it's the worst thing he's ever done.
Oh my god,
was that scene? It was just like torture for everyone.
Oh, that sounds awful,
but it's really well shot.
It is.
And the tension is really good. Like, I love how they focus in on her eyes, like, getting more and more scared.
Uh-huh.
It's so good.
And she plays the terror really well.
She does. I'm surprised she wasn't in more stuff after this. Like, a lot more, like, horror stuff.
Yeah, because she could have been. I mean, she was really good.
So, back to the movie itself, they're like, well, grandfather used to be the best slaughterer of the whole family, and...
So, we're going to bring him downstairs and he can slaughter you.
Yeah, so they bring him to the table and, by the way, Leatherface has also changed his face twice.
Yeah, he's now dressed as a woman with makeup on his face,
mm-hmm.
on his leather face.
It's a different mask. It's his,
It's a different mask.
Yeah, one was his killing mask. That was the first one you saw. There was the domestic mask, which was when he was in the kitchen with the wooden spoon. And a different wig. You only saw that for a little bit. And then this is a third mask where it was a different, another woman's wig.
I read this really interesting article all about, this was a while ago, actually,
mm-hmm.
all about the different masks that he had and like what they meant.
Yeah.
It was very interesting. I can't really remember it now, but they talked about it was interesting because, like, before I hadn't really paid attention.
I hadn't either, yeah.
So, yeah.
So they give Grandpa the sledgehammer and they put Sally's head over a bucket, or a bin, rather.
And they try to make him bash her head in, but he can't do it.
He just keeps dropping it. I think they hit her once, like a glancing blow, and that was
it. Yeah, they did. And she does manage to escape.
Jumps out another window.
She jumps out another window.
She's really good at that.
Yeah, she's not a fast runner, but, you know, she's a good jumper.
She didn't even make that fucking leap out the second story window. Still got hurt.
Oh, jeez.
I love it.
So she gets to the road. Leatherface and his brother, the hitchhiker, give chase. But the hitchhiker gets run over and killed by a passing truck. Leatherface attacks the truck with his chainsaw, but the driver stops to help and actually grabs a pipe wrench, which he uses to knock Leatherface down. And then the driver flees. Sally escapes in the back of a passing truck, and Leatherface flails his chainsaw at her, like, get back here, you snot.
Well, when the cattle truck driver hits him with the wrench, he actually saws his own leg.
Yes.
With the chainsaw. And they only had a metal plate. He still has, like, a burn mark from when that happened.
Oh.
The key from the thing. This is like the stupidest part, though. The cattle truck driver, she gets in the fucking cab of the truck. Instead of them fleeing in the truck, they go out the other side. Even the cattle truck driver gets out. Like,
yeah,
why the fuck do you get out? And then he runs away. Instead of getting in the truck and driving away, he runs away.
Yeah, that was dumb.
So stupid.
Like, you have a truck. Just drive away.
And the ending wasn't supposed to happen that way, but it was Gunnar Hansen basically dancing out his rage at Toby Hooper. Scaring the crap out of him. So, End movie. Thoughts?
I'm kind of annoyed that I liked it.
Stop. Seriously?
Yeah. I always kind of...
You can't hate all my movies.
I always kind of derided this movie as not being that good. And it's not, like, amazing or anything. It's not as amazing as so many people think it is. I just hear people just put this movie on such a pedestal. And it's not that good. But it's not bad either. And I see where people borrow things from it a lot, so that it has influenced the horror genre a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like things that have become tropes, like the big killer using power tools to attack his victims and whatnot. It was, you know, I think when it was done, it was just shocking to people because there was nothing that had really been like it.
Right. And it's got banned in so many countries.
It did. It got banned in a lot of countries. Even though Toby Hooper was trying to make this rating PG. What?
Well, and that's why he cut away. You didn't see a whole lot of the on-screen killings. Like, they'd cut away from it, or you know, kind of.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's still, no. That was going to give him an NC-7, what was it, X rating back then.
Yeah, and that was like...
He was able to bargain down.
That was like theater death. If you got an X rating, mm-hmm. No theater was going to...
No, because everyone equated X rating with porn.
Right.
Which there's no nudity in this fucking movie, so right. It's stupid.
So they had to bargain it down to R, but yeah. But yeah, it wasn't... I wouldn't watch it again, I don't think. But it wasn't bad.
I appreciate it for the budget they had.
Yeah.
I think they had like an $80,000 budget, and then upon editing, they had to throw another $70,000 more at it. But I mean, that's, you're done at that point. That's the editing process. And I respect the shit that the actors went through.
Yeah.
Like, Gunnar Hansen had one shirt the whole time, and it couldn't be washed because it was dyed. I don't know, just like you could feel like the low budget in it, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Of what they went through, like, they, it wasn't like, you know, today where, like, you know the new Halloween movie, they had trailers for Jamie Lee Curtis, and it was air conditioned, and it, you know, like, the pleasantries you get now, like,
right.
They suffered in this fucking Texas heat, mm-hmm. in the middle of summer when it was like, and it was supposed to be like a record heat summer. I mean, like, I respect them for that, and I think I might watch it again. It'll probably be a while, but I liked it a lot more than I thought it was going to, because I did confuse it with the Next Generation,
mm-hmm.
and I was pleasantly surprised that I did enjoy it, although I was really happier when Franklin died, so, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's my opinion on it. Do you have any other trivia that you wanted to add in that you found, or did I pretty much hit most of it for you?
No. Yeah, you pretty much touched on everything. I will say, when it says based on a true story, the only thing that it was based on a true story was that he based some elements on the murderer Ed Gein, and the story itself, no part of the story itself was true. he just based some of the stuff he had heard about Ed Gein on the murder house and stuff.
It's Gein. I always pronounce his name wrong. I always call him Ed Gein. I don't know why.
It's Gein.
Gein. Which the man only killed two people. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
I mean, he wore a lot more people and he robbed a lot. Misunderstood artist. I'm just going to say that.
Oh, okay.
Should we, fan fiction. There is none in the crossovers.
No.
But I had an idea for one.
Okay.
And really I was talking this over with somebody else that we're going to cross it with Scooby-Doo. And the Mystery Machine Gang is going to come into Leatherface's house. Okay. Velma will be Final Girl.
Okay.
Shaggy's our Franklin, obviously. I mean, obviously.
Yeah.
But that's going to happen. And Daphne's the girl in the fridge.
Nice. So the farmhouse used for the set was moved to Kingsland, Texas, and restored as a restaurant.
Isn't there a motel there, too? Like, they rent out the rooms?
I don't know. It just says it's a restaurant.
I thought they rent out rooms, too. Let's go. Let's go. Can we go?
Sure.
Yes. The Mostly Podcast Tonight on the road again. We should do a horror movie tour. We go to different sites for different horror movies.
That would be so much fun.
I think that'd be a blast. Do we have it in the coffers of the merchandise that we've sold?
If it only costs $1.35.
Hey, we're doing better than I thought. That's awesome. We have a whole $1.35. That'll get us from here to Menor. should we rate Get Out? Right?
Yeah, let's rate. It's your turn. Your movie.
I liked it. Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to go pretty high. I want to say like a 7.537.
Okay.
I would watch it again. It'll be a bit, but I'll watch it again. I enjoyed it way more than I thought I would. It wasn't too slow paced for me like the other one was. And it was, it moved faster than I thought it would. And I enjoyed putting somebody on a meat hook. I enjoy that, you know?
Yeah.
And I can appreciate fine art like that. And
sure.
I just think, like, it's these nosy kids. Like, if they hadn't come into the house, it would have been fine, you know?
If it wasn't for you lousy kids, and then they tear his mask off and he's Farmer Jenkins.
See, you get the Scooby-Doo thing now?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Three people went in that house uninvited. The other one got chased in. Who's to blame here? Just saying. What's your rating?
I was going to give it a 6.5, but that didn't really feel like strong enough for how much influence it's had on the horror genre, so I think
about
I'll
Alien.
Bump it up to a 7.
Do it for Alien.
Yeah, so mine is a 7. I thought that it was pretty good.
Okay, cool. Anything to pimp this week, or should we just pimp ourselves and get out?
Let's just get out. If you like paranormal stories and such, what, as I know you do.
I do.
Ghost stories, stories of the unexplainable.
Like how the door slammed in your apartment earlier while we were doing this and no one else was home.
Yeah, there's that. You can listen to Jim Harold's Campfire. That's a podcast I've been enjoying that has stories of ghost stories. Spooky. Anyway, we are part of the Morbidly Beautiful Podcast Network. MorbidlyBeautiful.com is your place for all things horror. And you should give their podcasts a listen. You might even find one that you like as much as ours. So come and join us on social media. We're on Facebook. We have a Facebook group moderated by our social media maverick called Maverick. We have a what else? We have an Instagram and a Twitter and a slasher.
Why can't we ever remember that?
I don't know. I always forget it. And a slasher. And
we should be able to remember it.
We really appreciate a review. So wherever you listen, leave us a review or tell your friends about us, because we can always use more ears on the podcast. And if you've got some cash to flash and you want some to check out our merch, that'll be linked in the show notes. So that's it from me, Chaos. And I'll just say thanks for listening and stay bloodthirsty, friends.
Good night from Carnage. And as always, we are filmed in front of a live studio audience of Invisicats.
Oh, they're around. One's where the just hell are sleeping. They, anyway?
Lazy fucking cats that are sleeping. That's what we're, you know.
I don't know where the other one is.